Thank you very much. Even Thursday when they sang it, I couldn't help from crying. And that was a beautiful song. You did a very good job. Thank you. And be sure that you don't leave right away, because you're going to love their very last song today. Our scripture this morning comes from three selections. Joshua 1:9. I have not commanded you. Be strong, courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. From Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. From Philippians 4, 6, verses 6 through 8. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. Or Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent and praiseworthy, think about such things. Words of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Well, thank you, Debbie. Picked out those scripture readings because I thought that may have been some of the scripture that the founders of our country may have looked to for strength. Because if you take yourself back 242 years ago, this very day, and if you could imagine sitting in a church on this day 242 days ago, a lot of things had just transpired in the 13 colonies. Great Britain had enacted oppressive taxes upon the colonies. The Boston Tea Party had already taken place. The Boston Massacre had taken place. And a group of five men that were selected by the Continental Congress had drafted what we now know as the Declaration of Independence. And on July 1st, 1776, they brought their draft of that first declaration forward. Now, the first draft didn't pass. It was edited and adjusted. And in the first vote on this day, back then, one of the delegates from Pennsylvania stood up and said, I don't believe that the colonies are prepared to survive the consequences of declaring independence. And he went on to add, I believe if we go forward with this, it will be akin to braving the storm in a skiff made of paper. After he sat down, John Adams stood up, and for a period of hours, he went on why he thought it was the best thing that the colonies could do. But unfortunately, at that day, on this day, 242 years ago, a preliminary vote was taken, and they didn't have a unanimous vote, which they all wanted of all the colonies. But they had a vote the next day, And ultimately, everyone declared that they were on board with the declaration. And I forgot I was supposed to get the clicker. Thanks. And I titled my message this morning, The Winds of Change, because can you imagine the winds of change that were taking place back then? When those individuals were getting ready to go against England? That when those 56 individuals signed their name to the Declaration of Independence, they were signing the equivalent of their death warrants. Because at the time, Great Britain was the most powerful nation on earth, and the British Crown deemed the issuance of that Declaration of Independence as an act of treason, which meant that all signers of the Declaration would be punishable for treason and by death. Yet using the courage that God tells us to do with some of the scripture readings, as demonstrated in the readings that Debbie read for us, they looked to God for that strength as they signed that document, I'm sure. Because that had to be a moment when they knew, I am willing to give my life for this country and for its founding principles. Now, there's always an argument about whether our country was founded on Christian principles or other principles, and I'm not going to get into that, but it's clear that our founders were guided by the principles of Christianity. So much so that when they signed the Declaration and included in the Declaration, at the very end of the Declaration, they included comments praising our divine Creator. And when George Washington got a copy of the Declaration of Independence, he read it and was so moved by it, he assigned a chaplain to all of the divisions that were under his command. And in that command, an excerpt from it read, "Every officer and man will endeavor to live and act as becomes a Christian soldier defending the dearest rights and liberties of his country." The Declaration included a comment, "With a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor." And with that, on July 2nd, they signed the Declaration of Independence, which we will celebrate on Wednesday. There's no question that the Declaration of Independence is to those who signed it both part of their religious faith and beliefs, as well as a secular act to form a new country. And what's really significant is that when they looked for strength as they were writing the document, they looked for God for guidance and not the state. And they believed that our rights come from God and that they're absolute and inalienable, and that the state's governing authority was to be limited by that first principle and should not infringe upon the rights that God has bestowed upon us. It turns out that document was unique then and is unique today when it formed this nation that we will celebrate. And I think the words of Joshua, which Debbie read before, can give us strength just like it gave our founders strength. "Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." And I was thinking of that scripture when I was talking with Breland, that all of us at times are going to go through challenges where we're wondering, what should we do? And just like the founders of our country, when the winds of change were blowing across the colonies, they had to find that courage and strength, and they went to the Lord in prayer. And as I said, they included that in the Declaration of Independence with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence. They knew that God was on their side, and they prayed to him for that courage. But the winds of change are taking place now as we sit here in 2018 in this sanctuary, much different than the winds of change in 1776. Iran and North Korea lurk as nuclear threats. Russia is always a present enemy. The country of China now is waking from its sleep, and world dominance through any means is their mantra. But I would argue that America's problem isn't Russia or China or things that are going on and whether the EU breaks up or not. I would say, like the days of Hosea the prophet, America is self-destructing, being ruined from within because we forget our history and we forget to look to God when we encounter problems. And it's not unlike what was taking place in the old great British Empire 375 years ago. It was said then, quote, "The sun never sets on the British Empire. They had colonies across the world, and no one thought the great empire would ever collapse. They even boasted that God was on their side and his blessings would never let them fail. But ultimately, they too turned away from God, and the empire began crumbling left and right. They were being destroyed from within." Thomas Hall wrote back in during that time, "The sins of England I fear more than all the enemies of the world. It is not Spain or Italy, France or Turkey that I fear. It is atheism, blasphemy, and the profaning of all that is holy and contempt for the gospel. If anything destroys us, it is these abominations that reign among us." And I think if we're not careful, if we don't keep our eye on the blessings that God bestowed on the founders of this country and the principles, the same fate can or may befall us. And you might say, Jim, and Todd made a comment when he was watching me go through the slides, Jim, you're getting kind of controversial. And I'm not here to be controversial, but to just say, think a little bit on this 4th of July about where our blessings truly flow from. And then watch the news. Because one of the things that concerns me, and I haven't put my finger on it, I don't quite know the source of this, but it appears as if the institutions on which this country was founded and in which we have lived for more than 200 years are being slowly eroded. Whether it's in our courtrooms, whether it's in the institutions of marriage, whether it's in our Congress, whether it's in our schools, whether it's in our economy and all the manufacturing that has left this country and left abandoned factories that I see when I travel all the time. We hear a lot of people crying that Japan is continuing to destroy our economy by importing cars and computers, and Germany is crippling us by keeping their interest rates high. And we're destroying our economic base by letting manufacturers move to Mexico for cheaper labor. But God is saying to America, your suffering is not because of your trade partners. It doesn't have anything to do with any of that. You're destroying yourself from within. You have cast me aside. You've refused me as your nation's king. And if you're not careful, your own sins will destroy you. And I thought, is that really true? And we were scouting around for videos to tie into my message. And we typed in just what is the meaning of the 4th of July. And we came upon this video. Now I'm sure it's edited for some fun. But this young man took a microphone out on the beach as everyone was celebrating last year the 4th of July and asked them, what does the 4th of July mean to you?
What's up, guys? This is Will Witt from PragerU. Today we're on Santa Monica Beach and we're going to be asking people some questions for the 4th of July.
Why do we celebrate the 4th of July? I don't really know.
Why do we celebrate the 4th of July?
Celebrate the independence of our nation.
Our independence?
It's our Independence Day.
Independence Day.
For the independence of America.
Why is the year 1776 significant?
The U.S. 1776? I have no idea.
Oh. What's the significance of 1776?
Is that when Columbus sailed the ocean blue?
What is the significance of 1776?
I don't know.
What's the significance of 1776?
I don't even know what that is.
It's a year.
Yeah, I figure.
Why do we celebrate the 4th of July?
Well, I forgot.
What is the year 1776 about?
About the signing of the Declaration of Independence.
What's the significance of 1776?
Yeah, that one I don't know.
Not a history person.
I can tell. What's the significance of 1776?
Christopher Columbus.
Why is the year 1776 significant?
It's the Civil War.
Close.
Or the end of it. Or the end of slavery. 1776, Columbus sailed the ocean blue. That's why they say it, because it rhymes. Oh.
And my point with the video is not to be controversial, but to say if we don't know our history, and we don't know the principles on which this country is founded, the principles of Christianity, whatever the history of principles are, and we are sitting on a beach celebrating something, we have no idea its history, our schools have failed us. They have failed. Something's failed. And then I found a quote as I was preparing this message that I didn't know. We all know Patrick Henry for what? And this is a picture of Patrick Henry. Give me liberty or give me death as we went forward. But I also found an interesting quote that he said as he went forward. It says, it is when a people forget God that tyrants forge their chains. That probably has as much meaning to us today as give me liberty or give me death. If we forget about the role of God and the blessings that he bestowed upon our founders as they wrote both the Declaration and our Constitution, there's no doubt that the tyrants are going to be the ones that forge their chains. And I thought about that when I chose the special music, because that young boy that Greg talked about when he introduced the song had to be looking at his relationship with his father in the same way sometimes we look at our relationship with our country and our countrymen. And sometimes it's easy not to see where your true strength comes from. And he didn't have the love he always sought from his biological father, and he didn't realize that his life seemed so empty until the moment he walked up to the casket. And as the preacher was talking, as the song goes, he looked up and he saw that cross. And he didn't see Jesus in anguish. He saw Jesus as having his arms out and welcoming him into his arms. And then all of a sudden, the angst, the turmoil, and the pain that he had in his life all was washed away, because he realized that to each and every one of us, including him, that God's arms are outstretched for each and every one of us. And I think his father and his relationship with his father is a lot like some of the dysfunction we have in our country and the dysfunction that he saw in his father. Years ago, and I don't want to sound like my dad, but it does seem as if we had a greater appreciation for God and the founding of our country. And Hosea, a prophet, spoke to one of the tribes of Israel, Ephraim, and they were very similar to where we are today. The tribe was the largest, most prosperous, and powerful of Israel's 12 tribes. They had been brought to fruitfulness by the goodness and the mercy of God. But God brought Ephraim down to the pits of poverty because of the evils when they forgot that it was God who brought those blessings upon them. And in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11, it says, "Now all these things happened unto them as an example, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are to come. God is saying, search the scriptures, go to the prophets, see what he did to Sodom and Gomorrah. Find out why he sent the flood. Learn why he sent his judgments. Like Ephraim, America has been above all else very fruitful. We will sing America the Beautiful, our spacious skies, our fruited plains. But if we don't remember that God is the source of those blessings, of that fruited plain, and of those spacious skies, we may end up like Ephraim. A withering wind may blow down from the Lord. I think breezes are there now telling us that if we forget God, those winds will send a message to us, just like Ephraim's tribe when ultimately they fell apart. But sometimes in the winds of change, we can find our true direction. We can be like that young man, and we can say, when we're really down with the news. The other night, Sally and I were watching the news, and we do this a lot, and we decide maybe we shouldn't watch the news. It was 9 minutes straight. Shooting, death, destruction, murder, death, destruction, murder, shooting, shooting here, shooting there. And when that wasn't enough, when they didn't have enough locally, then it was a shooting in Salt Lake, or shooting in Orlando, or shooting somewhere else. And after you watch that, before the very first commercial at the 10-minute mark, those winds can really blow you over if we don't keep in focus the blessings that God has bestowed upon this country, especially as we celebrate this Wednesday. So one of the things that we have to look to, just as our founders did, look to God when you need courage. Look to God to say, I'm going to look for that half full glass, not half empty glass. When someone wants to deride the negative of a situation, take the positive route. And remember that if you know God is in control, you can lie back in his arms and say, thank you, Jesus. You can rest in the knowledge that God has everything under control. And I'm going to end my message with a newsletter, an article from a newsletter I wrote, and I just have an excerpt that I wrote. And I wrote it because I'm currently working with a police department that's being torn apart by issues of racial strife. But I think the comments, which are based on some readings that were brought forward in our adult Sunday school class a few weeks ago by Max Licato, I altered it to write this article. But I think this can apply to our country as well. And it was titled, Unity and Diversity. How many organizations today are struggling with issues of diversifying, opening the doors of opportunity to as many as possible while navigating through a sea of change in all aspects of life? But what is diversity? Is it diversity by race, by gender, by ideals, by character, by political beliefs, by who you don't know, by who you do know? So many people have been pulled apart by real and fabricated issues related to issues of diversity recently that it's difficult to determine who is telling the truth and who is right or wrong. As organizations attempt to address real issues of discrimination or the subtle tug of bias present in everyone. My thought is rather than focusing on diversity, we should focus on unity, just like our founders coalesced around the principles in the Declaration of Independence. Unity of standards, policies, procedures work to identify what unites us, not what divides us. Once we have accomplished that, the issues that make us different can be solved much more effectively and efficiently. all too often we spend too much time making the case that I'm right. We have meetings and coffee breaks focused on what the others are doing wrong, and gossipers become experts in finding weakness. Then the gossipers split into camps, continuing the cycle. Are our differences that diverse that we can't find common ground with those who have other thoughts and beliefs, of other genders, of other backgrounds, of other positions in life? I don't think our differences as a country are that great or as wide as we think. If we can establish common ground, opening our eyes, our ears, and our hearts to everyone, to the differences that add to our unity, the concepts of diversity will become a uniter, not a divider. Too Pollyannish and idealistic? I don't think so. It just takes courage to work. Sit down with those who are different than you, by race, by gender, by politics, by age. Agree to a set of standards that are common to you and them, and where you are unified. Then work on what divides you. The divide will be smaller than you think. A unified and diverse country, rallying around principles everyone can agree on, regardless of our differences, is a country that you will be proud to be part of and everyone can embrace. On this Wednesday, before your picnic begins, say a prayer to God. Remember that He had a strong influence in the founding of this country before we dig into those brats and hot dogs and hamburgers. Let us end in prayer. Oh Lord, we cannot thank you enough that your influence guided and directed and protected those who founded this great country that gives us the freedom to sit here this morning to be part of a worship service where we come back to you and we say thank you. We look to you for our strength and our guidance and our courage as we go forward into a country that's sometimes divided, where people have different opinions on different things, and more importantly, give direction to those who have no idea of your role in our lives and our country. Help them to open their eyes and their ears and their hearts to know that your grace is there for each and every one of us, so that we can come forward in our worlds and hold our arms out and say, Father, I am here for you and you for me. And thank you for every blessing you have bestowed upon us. Amen.